Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Campervan Podcast. This is part three of my five-part interview with Evan Hopkins, Vice President of Global Sales and General Manager for Canada, Australia, and New Zealand at Outdoorsy. Today we discuss how Outdoorsy puts RV renters and owners at ease by carefully vetting renters, educating owners, and by implementing thorough insurance coverage. Tomorrow we go in-depth on Outdoorsy's approach to renting campervans versus other RV types. Okay, let's get into it.
So I think we'll have our North American one, which we'll still invite everyone from around the world. We'll do a European, and then we'll get the Australian one going too. What I've seen in the past, though, in that previous franchising business was we would host regional ones in North America, but we would still have people go to different regions. So I won't be surprised when we have someone from Europe come to the North American one.
We have
someone... You know, partially because you get to go on maybe a little bit of a vacation, but also new ideas and engaging new people and new relationships. So I think we'll, it's a travel business that we're in. I think we'll see people really want to create new networks and new connections.
Yeah, wonderful. That's amazing.
Here's the really neat thing. You could start one of these businesses and own zero RVs.
Oh, sure. Just manage and other people's.
Just manage other people. We have people who are doing that. One of the ones I talked about that grew to over 100, she only owns two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Wow.
But the rest of them are, she's just done a fantastic job of engaging people, showing them a process. And what she does is she manages the interaction with a customer, brings them bookings, both through Outdoorsy, also directly through her own marketing activity. And then the owner of the vehicle keeps their vehicle, just has it listed through her and then Outdoorsy. And then they do the key exchange, make sure there's, you know, good experience on the trip, and then clean it up and get it to the next person after. Millions of dollars in that business. And when you think about it versus buying a franchise that you need like brick and mortar or trucks or other things, the cost is almost nothing in comparison to those. You can easily spend a few hundred thousand dollars, $500,000 in a franchise business of a more traditional size. And I know, I definitely know that. I actually own a franchise with some partners. So I know how many checks you can write going out before any come back.
Right.
This is almost profitable from day one, basically. So yeah, so again, really fun. I hope you probably hear my passion even through the allergies there of like, it's just really fun to see the impact and how quickly people can have success.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's back off just a little bit with regard to the high level entrepreneurship stuff and talk about imagine someone who's thinking, well, I've got this RV that, yeah, I only get to use it 3 weeks a year and it sits the rest of the time. This sounds like a great idea, but of course they're going to have concerns. So I'm curious, how do you put owners at ease? And I'll give you an example. Let's say you live in, I don't know, Vegas, and you've got an RV, and you're thinking, yeah, people are going to rent my van or my Winnebago, and they're going to go to Burning Man, and they're going to party like crazy, right? So right. I'm curious about issues, you know, such as damage and insurance and you know, resolving those issues or getting out in front of them, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll even talk about Burning Man, probably one of the biggest conversations that happens every year on our site. And I know it's been canceled the last couple of years here, but, you know, it'll be back, no doubt.
Yep.
I think that the great thing about it is you're really in control as an owner on the platform. So I know some people really cautious around it. They have GPSs in their RV, right? So they know where it is at all times.
Yeah.
That's like an easy one, right? Because you know if it's going to the right places or not.
And cheap now. I mean, relatively cheap, right? I mean,
yeah, versus 20 years ago, like it's a thing now to put a GPS in there.
Yeah.
So I think that's like an easy sort of step. I know other people who, for Burning Man as an example, they just don't rent out during that period because they don't even want to go in no matter what, right? And so they might plan their own vacations to go do something. But that being said, we have some really good processes in place to help vet our renters as well as our owners, but definitely our renters as well. So we have a few systems that as a renter comes through the process, it checks to see like, how can we insure them? What's the risk ratios, driver's license, all these sort of things sort of go on in the process. So by the time someone is actually getting the keys to an RV, there's a lot of confidence that it's, you know, it's going to be a good experience. And then we also have insurance that goes over top of the booking from Outdoorsy that the renter pays for. And that just makes sure that the vehicle's looked after, liabilities, etc., are all looked after. So as an owner, you don't have to go figure that out yourself or anything. It's all part of the process going through Outdoorsy. So I think that's what builds a lot of confidence with people. When I talk to owners who had trepidation, we talk about these things. And then later on, when I get a chance to see their success and reach out, that's what they felt really good about. And then they'll also ask people, you know, where are you going? And through the platform, you can engage them and find out about who they are. And then you have to do some logical things. Like when the person shows up, if they said that, you know, they're a family of four with two kids and a dog, and then you don't see any kids and a dog and it's just one person, you know, you can, even up to that last moment, make a decision of like, do I feel comfortable with this? The vast majority of the time, things go so well. And we see that online. We have, you know, 4.8 star, I think, on the App Store for Apple.
Wow. And
we see
that's an accomplishment.
It really is. Yeah, huge shout out to our product and engineering team and how hard they work to do that.
Yeah, but that is really, really difficult to achieve, to have anywhere over 4 stars on App Store, or I assume you have a Google app as well. Or sorry, Android app.
We have an Android as well. It's newer. It's not at 4.8 stars yet,
right,
for sure.
Right,
but
it's
definitely one that...
And I think it's actually more difficult on Google Play to get really high star ratings. So listeners, if you're on Android, and whenever you're looking at an app, if there are both Android and Apple versions of it, look at the star ratings and reviews on both platforms if at all possible, because it will answer more questions with regard to how good the app is. I think that the Android world just tends to be a little more reactionary, I'm not sure why it is. I have no idea why. It's just an interesting thing. I try to help listeners with understand star ratings, because there's so much mm-hmm. being purchased on Amazon for the camper van builds and whatnot. So anyway, sorry, go on. That was a tangent.
No, I think that's a really important thing. As I've, again, worked with businesses, my own business, things like that, the sites you trust versus you don't trust versus like reading reviews versus just looking at star ratings, it is really important for people to understand more about that. I think one thing I've heard about the Android one that makes it more difficult is on Apple, you have one marketplace, one operating system, and one type of phone.
Right.
Whereas on Android, you have so many different types of phones
yeah.
that it creates, you know, even though it's the same operating system, apparently that like can drive a lot of challenges and people on different versions and stuff like that. So my dad and brothers are much more technical than I am, which is funny because I'm the one that's working for a startup. But that's definitely something that they've had some conversations about. But star rating is really important. I guess my big one is I always encourage people, read the actual human reviews.
Right.
Especially the recent ones. For me, that's what I really try to follow.
Yeah, and then I advise people to mostly ignore the one-star reviews. You see some really crazy mm-hmm. stuff in there. Like this thing was, you know, it was slower than I thought. And later that day, I stubbed my toe. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? You know, it's so crazy. You really do have to. It's like 2 through 4 really are. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the show. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Campervan Podcast. The Vantsage newsletter goes out every Sunday evening, and if you're not signed up for that yet, well, you're missing out. Packed full of valuable, fun weekly features, product resources, videos, photography, exclusive content, and other cool van life stuff. It's easy to get signed up, only takes a few seconds, and the link to do so is in show notes right there in your podcatcher app. And while you're at it, I have a quick favor to ask. Please take a few seconds to send that link to friends, family, post it to your social media feeds, etc. It really does make all the difference and will allow me to continue publishing this show. Okay, that's it for now. Take care. Have fun. I'm glad you're here. Enjoy the adventure. But you treat me so unkind. Fast mail train, I see. I think I hear coming.